but not to press them into a book. No, he wanted to prod and question and provoke them, to talk to them. There was, he was certain, absolutely nothing more worth doing than talking to people. But not at 6:32 a.m. Central Standard Time, which was the exact moment when the phone on the wall in his kitchen rang on Tuesday, April 14th. Norman, standing at the sink and staring out the window while the coffee brewed, stirred himself from his pre-caffeine reverie and scowled at the phone. A line from a movie ran uselessly through his head, "None of my friends would call at this hour," which was a lie. His friends called all the time. It was the curse of knowing people in myriad time zones. Norman shuffled over to the phone, tilted his glasses up so he could read the caller ID, and saw Silver Spring, Maryland. He picked up the handset.
"We've talked about this," Norman said.
The voice from the other end was tense and excited.
"Did you see any imaging from GOES-16 in the past 24 hours?
"It's 6:30 in the morning here, kiddo. And I'm calling you anyway, Norman, so imagine."
Norman could hear the urgency in Perry St. John's voice, and he cleared his throat, pulling himself to attention. He liked Perry, and had since the moment the kid walked into his introduction to astrophysics class, listened to one lecture, then went right up to the revered professor and announced that he was looking for a mentor and had just settled on Norman. Who could resist that kind of chutzpah? 20 years of dinners and phone calls and emails after that first day in class, Perry was one of the lead researchers at NOAA's main observation station monitoring solar events. He put up with the lily-white astronomic industry giving him second looks and suspicious glances, and boy did he get tired of saying, "Yes, Neil deGrasse Tyson is a great inspiration to me." But he stayed with it, even when they started pushing him into media interviews just so they could have a black face out there, because it was the job he was born to do. He liked to tell people he was a weatherman, which was technically true, but the kind of storms he monitored made Category 5 Earth hurricanes look like spring showers. He repeated his question to Norman.
"Have you seen imaging from the past cycle?"
"Last night," Norman said. "And thank you again for the login. Hours of fun. Hours, Perry."
"Did you see the flare?"
"Yes. 2 of them. Big ones. SUVI picked it up. They saturated the X-ray irradiance sensors, so I haven't checked back. Why?"
Perry paused on the other end, thinking.
"Is it possible they masked a secondary burst? Or tertiary?"
Norman furrowed his brow.
"I suppose. Did the radiation hit Discover yet?"
Discover, the Deep Space Climate Observatory satellite, had been a crucial tool in the monitoring of space weather in general and solar activity in particular since late 2015, when, after its successful launch, it took up its orbit at Lagrange Point 1, a neutral gravity sweet spot about 1 million miles from the Earth. From there, Discover essentially hovered in place between the Earth and Sun, the array of sensors in its nose beaming near-to-real-time information back to NOAA.
"Yes," Perry answered. "They'll miss Earth by 7 degrees in about 45 minutes. It's what's behind them I'm talking about."
"What's behind them?"
"There was a third flare, 0 degrees of inflection, and it's moving through cleared space. New images are posted in the now casting. Take a look, I'll wait."
Ignoring the coffee, Norman took the cordless phone into his study and sat at the big oak dining table he used for a desk. He flipped open his laptop, cradled the phone on his shoulder, and went directly to the NOAA site that featured integrated images from GOES-16 and NASA's Orbiting Solar Dynamics Observatory. To the untrained eye, the sets of solar images and strings of data on Norman's screen would have been meaningless. But to a mind that had been assimilating data both in visual and quantitative form like this for 65 years, the coronal captures and strings of numeric data he saw with the astronomical equivalent of a guy standing on the edge of a cliff, waving a lantern, and screaming, "The bridge is out."